Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the National Research Centers on Domestic Violence Blog Talk Radio Station. My name is Yvonne Ortiz. I am the Training and Education Specialist at the NRCVB. Today we will be focusing on human trafficking. Our show is titled Path 15, Combating Human Trafficking Along Route 15. As you may know, human trafficking is a form of modern slavery, a multi-billion dollar criminal industry that denies freedom to more than 20 million people around the world. And no matter where you live, chances are it's happening nearby. Today, we're lucky to have Rhonda Hendrickson with us. Rhonda is a graduate from the School of Public Affairs at Penn State. She currently serves as the Director of Violence Intervention and Prevention Services at the Greater Harrisdale, Pennsylvania YWCA. Prior to this role, Ms. Hendrickson ran the Terry County Victim Witness Program on behalf of the Terry County District Attorney. Rhonda has been actively involved in ICE human trafficking efforts, which include participation on the South Central Human Trafficking Response Team since its inception in 2009. Ms. Hendrickson also manages one of the first federal human trafficking grants in central Pennsylvania. Rhonda, welcome to our show. I want to first thank you for the work that you're doing on behalf of victims and survivors in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. We are excited to be able to spend a couple of minutes with you here at our show. So tell us, for those that don't have any experience or any knowledge on this topic, what is human trafficking?
Sure. So I think a good way to describe human trafficking is in very simple terms. We refer to it as modern-day slavery. You know, it's where somebody profits from the exploitation of others, and it's typically through commercial sex acts or labor.
Tell us about the anti-human trafficking work that the YWCA is involved in.
Sure. So the YWCA has been involved in anti-human trafficking movements since as early as 2009. Our area here in the Harrisburg area formed one of the first response teams to human trafficking in Pennsylvania. That was our South Central Human Trafficking Response Team. And it really consisted of numerous counties and personnel that were really committed to identifying this problem and forming an appropriate response to it. The YWCA has always been actively involved in that, and in 2014, we were fortunate enough to be given an OVC grant that allowed us to actually fund services providing for, aid to victims, identifying them, providing them everything from crisis intervention to safe shelter, reunification with families, immigration assistance, T-visas. But we also do a lot of outreach in our communities, trying to educate the public about what trafficking looks like in our communities. And then the other prong of that grant allows us to do a lot of training with other professionals so that, you know, folks on the front lines out there, whether it's in a hospital or an EMS worker or a social service provider or law enforcement, are identifying this type of victimization and making those referrals into our program.
Great work that the YWCA is doing in Harrisburg. It's really impressive. You know that more or our listeners are usually more domestic violence advocates. Tell me about what are some of the assumptions about victims of human trafficking so they can grasp, you know, those that don't have a lot of experience working with human trafficking victims. What are those assumptions?
I think the first assumption for many, many people is that human trafficking doesn't happen in their communities. It's something that's happening in other countries. But the reality is it is happening right here in our communities, and we have to recognize what trafficking really looks like. A lot of people have the image of the movie Taken as the realities of trafficking. And while that movie, you know, is great and it's true that trafficking can look like that, what it looks like most often in the communities we're working with is really things like boyfriends pimping out their girlfriends, family members, exploiting for commercial gain other family members. Individuals who try to form what are really fake relationships with the victim and getting them and manipulating them into performing commercial sex acts. So, we really have to understand that trafficking doesn't always look like the movie Taken.
Exactly. What are some of the red flags that our advocates can, need to look for?
Sure. So, multiple things. And again, just stressing the fact that we have to understand what trafficking looks like. If you're in an area where there may be a lot of street prostitution, as an example, that right there is a red flag. People don't wake up in the morning or grow up from being a child and say, gee, I want to be a prostitute today. Mm-hmm. What we know from working with, many, many women is that peeling back the layers of their history, you find usually a lifelong history of trauma, but you hear the force, fraud, and coercion that happened to them to bring them to the place they are now and being part of this commercial sex industry really through a coercive series of events. We also see a lot of domestic violence relationships, if you want to use that word, that are manipulated. Mm-hmm. The coercive power and control that's used in a domestic violence relationship can often be turning that victim into a trafficking victim. And then, of course, drug use is another huge thing we're seeing here. If you're working with clients who have substance abuse issues, a lot of time the suppliers, as we're seeing in the FBI, is the suppliers are turning people who buy their product into trafficking victims and, sort of crossing over between the narcotics industry and the trafficking industry.
Mm-hmm.
Other things you can look for, it's just that coercive control. Somebody who fails to have control over their money, their documents, their schedules, where do they sleep? Where do they eat? Can they come and go as they please? Labor trafficking victims, do they get breaks at work? What are their working hours? And our educational programs teach people how to look for those signs.
Mm-hmm. How interesting. You mentioned the first responders, and as we know, they are usually the ones in charge of identifying and assisting the majority of human trafficking victims. They are also in charge of making the arrest, identifying, which in most cases can impact the proper identification of victims of trafficking. As advocates, how can we assist our first responders?
Well, again, the education as to what trafficking looks like. So, as an example, in our area, we've got a lot of wonderful law enforcement officers who go out and do these prostitution stings. And the great thing that we've managed to accomplish through education and collaboration on all of these types of things with trafficking is that the purpose is to identify and really create an intervention for the victim. Not necessarily, we're not looking for an arrest and incarceration. We're looking for an opportunity to provide the intervention, identify the trafficking situation, and most victims don't identify it themselves, and then say to this person, look, we believe this is what's happening to you from what you're telling us, and we can offer you, all these services to help you, move into a different life.
Mm-hmm.
And law enforcement, your EMS workers, your medical personnel, those guys and ladies out there are just so critical to this effort. And we found that most of our referrals into, our program are coming through law enforcement and prison staff and medical personnel.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the movie Taken. So that's the idea that, some society has out there that how human trafficking looks like. Is there a type that is more common in the Harrisburg area? Is it just sex trafficking, labor trafficking? What are you seeing out there?
What we're seeing around the Harrisburg area, now some of our partners are seeing a little different things. It really depends on the area. We're seeing mostly sex trafficking and a little bit of like sex and labor trafficking combined in your massage parlors and so forth. But that doesn't mean that there is no labor trafficking. It seems to be a little bit harder to identify that in this area, but we do have partners who are seeing some labor trafficking through like domestic servitude type situations, you know, exploited workers and so forth.
Interesting. So let's talk about the past 16. And when I first read about this project, it was so enticing. Tell us what it stands for.
Sure. So PAT 15 stands for the Pennsylvania Alliance Against Trafficking in Humans, Route 15. You know, to make a long story short, there is a state group that has worked very hard to implement Act 105 in our state. That group is called PATH. We wanted to create an identity in Pennsylvania that sends the same message across the state, that trafficking is not accepted here, that all these folks are working together. So we use that name and tacked on the Route 15 project because that's our service territory. We're covering 12 counties up and down Route 15.
How many agencies are a part of the project?
So as formal partners to the project, there are 4 rape crisis centers in Pennsylvania, and that also brings together 4 regional human trafficking response teams in those areas. We also have the Pennsylvania Immigration Resource Center and the Friends of Farm Workers who have joined our project. We just had it renewed for 2016 into 2019. So we have some additional project partners which help us reach into that labor trafficking arena and provide more expertise for us.
Mm-hmm. Was it hard to engage everybody into this project? You know that sometimes we work in silos. Was it hard or was it easy to come together?
You know, I have to say it really wasn't difficult. As I mentioned earlier, we've been working on this as a region since as early as 2009. So everybody was already committed and primed for this work and doing this work, you know, trying to just do it without any money. So when we were able to get this grant, people were just like, please, we want to help. We want to be a part of this. And all of our partners have been phenomenal in pushing forward and really getting the message out that this is what trafficking looks like in our community, and we are here to provide those services for the victims.
Wonderful work. Can you tell us a little bit about Act 105 and what your role is?
So Act 105 is Pennsylvania's anti-human trafficking legislation. You know, we don't really have a role in Act 105. It was in, I believe, September of 2014. And, you know, it's probably one of the strongest anti-human trafficking pieces of legislation in the country right now. But it provides for the prosecution of human trafficking. It expanded the definition of trafficking. So as an example, somebody who harbors the victim or recruits or transports the victim, even though they're not the one selling the victim, can still be charged with human trafficking. So it's a really powerful tool, and it also provides for the protection and prevention as well, so protection for victims and then the prevention of trafficking. Our role at the YWCA, we are participating with the statewide implementation group to really implement Act 105 across the state. In particular, I'm working in co-chairing the Victim Services Committee, where we're trying to identify all the different resources that are available in Pennsylvania, create a guide for service providers, for law enforcement, for anybody who needs those services. And then we hope to, at some point, look at, you know, what standards should exist? What should be the standard for these services? You know, we're really in a grassroots movement with human trafficking service provision. So it's very exciting work, but it's very critical and needed work.
Incredible. It's amazing. You mentioned the services that the Y provides. Let's talk about safe shelter. I remember years ago, I was working on a local program, and it was when organizations were starting to get together and talk, starting the conversation about human trafficking and how to house the survivors. Do you guys provide safe shelter for the survivors?
We do provide safe shelter, so it's emergency shelter. You know, we're using sort of a shelter recovery setting for survivors. What we have found is, you know, like any other survivor, whether it's domestic violence, sexual assault, or human trafficking, the survivor has to be ready for that housing.
Yes.
And we've discovered such complex trauma in the victims we're working with, you know, from mental health to substance abuse issues, that really pull victims back out into the streets. The good news is, though, they come back because they had a safe place here. They may only stay with us for a week, and they may disappear. But what we're seeing is they reappear because they know, hey, you know, there's a safe place we can go. And we really measure our success 1 hour at a time with victims. If we can keep somebody safe for an hour, that's a success.
And that's really how you measure success, if they come back and they feel safe in the program. It shows that collaboration has been the key for the success of this project, of the past 16. Can you share with our listeners some tips on how to establish a successful collaboration in your community?
Sure. Well, you know, I think it really all comes down to opening the conversations and talking about how we can all help each other. You know, we have done a lot of, you know, beating the pavement, going out and knocking on doors of all our local police. We were over talking with our district attorney yesterday, and it's really about forming those long-term relationships. And luckily, you know, for all of us involved in this project, we already have those relationships in place through our domestic violence and sexual assault services. So it really wasn't difficult to get buy-in, but, you know, one of my staff, he makes his rounds and knocks on doors and thanks people for what they're doing, you know, especially our law enforcement officers for the work that they're doing. And, you know, they see it as, hey, here's somebody who can help us and something that, you know, we're not the victim service provider. These guys are. They can help us. So it's really about how we can all help each other.
Mm-hmm. Are there any specific campaigns that you're heading at the Y?
Not necessarily. I mean, we're working every day on this project. We know, you know, January is Anti-Human Trafficking Awareness Month. And for us, because we have been so fortunate to have this project and really have what amounts to a whole department dedicated to this, we're working on this every single day. You'll see our billboards up along Route 15 that advertise the National Human Trafficking Hotline number because, you know, the message we want is, you know, call if you see something, say something. And then, you know, again, just getting people to understand what trafficking looks like. So we're out probably 3 to 4 times during the week doing professional trainings or community programs, anywhere from, you know, a class at Penn State Harrisburg to a group of EMS workers, you know, educating and building our network even further. So our initiatives are pretty much every day.
If any of our listeners wishes to contact you, and you know that although we are a national organization, you are providing and you have such an interesting and incredible project. And if somebody wants to talk to you, what's the best way to get in contact with you? Just for tips or just for you to, you know, share a conversation with them?
Yeah, and we are happy to provide technical assistance to talk about, you know, how we got our project up and running. They can call our 24/7 hotline. That number is 800-654-1211. They can also jump on our website and get our contact information, and that would be www.ywcahbg.org.
So we want to give you a chance to share any last thoughts, if you want to share any information about any new exciting events that are going on in the Harrisburg area, just go ahead.
Sure. You know, what we really appreciate the opportunity to participate in your show. I think the most important message that we have all tried to put out with this is that human trafficking looks different than what most people think. And it's really important for everybody out there to understand what it looks like in our community so when they do see something, they can identify it. And certainly we're really grateful for the collaborations we've had with the police departments, the FBI, ICE, all those wonderful people in our communities that are stepping up and saying, you know, we want to take an active part in this. So I encourage everybody to do that. You know, learn the signs, learn the indicators, get involved with your local task forces.
Rhonda, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. I'm sorry that we have some technical difficulties at the beginning. And we also want to thank the YWCA of Greater Harrisburg for their amazing work. And to our listeners, let's just remember to learn about human trafficking, learn about the signs, about the red flags, and also about the organizations that are working in your community. Make an effort to learn and to get involved, like Rhonda just told us. So thank you, everybody, and I hope you join us at another time. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rhonda.